You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Governor Snyder delivers his State of the State address 1 week from today. He'll likely talk about new policy initiatives and proposals and issues concerning everything from transportation and infrastructure to education. My next guest, however, will be listening intently to what the governor has to say about one specific topic, the environment. Lisa Wozniak is the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Hi, Lisa, and welcome to Stateside.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Cindy, for having me.
So what will you be hoping to hear from the governor next Thursday?
It's a great question. First, let me say that the governor should be applauded for what he has done over this last year. Coming into 2013, he held 7 public forums across the state, garnered thousands upon thousands of public comments in relationship to the issue of clean energy, renewable energy, and energy efficiency. He asked for reports throughout the fall, which he got 4 of them from the Public Service Commission and the Energy Office. And he actually made an announcement in late December in relationship to clean energy and Michigan's future in that arena. As we move into the State of the State, you're right, I will be listening very closely. and I'll be listening very closely to hear what he can do to expand upon the 3 things he touched upon in December. He talked a lot about cost, economics, and health. And let me start with the last one first, health. I'm not only an executive director, I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. And I'm a mother of 2 teenage boys. And I look into their eyes every day and I wonder what the future of the state of Michigan is going to be like. And so from the health perspective, we know that actually moving us away from coal, which is what the governor spoke about, and I hope he'll speak about again, is very smart for public health reasons. We have exorbitant rates of asthma. 10% of the hospitalization in Michigan for children is due to asthma attacks. Mercury in our Great Lakes, which the governor actually did speak about in December, and I hope he'll speak about again, is contaminating every single inland lake and stream in the state. We have fish consumption advisories on every one of those water bodies, and that ought not be the case. So simply from a health perspective, and then I can get into cost and economy too, but these are the things we'd like to hear about from the governor.
And do you expect that you will hear these things from him?
You know, I think this is such a pivotal issue, and he spent so much of his political capital in this last year investing in these public hearings and in the reports that I do think we'll hear about it. Now, will we hear about it at the level of specificity that we would really like? I don't know, and I'm really hoping that he will lead on this. From the economic and the cost perspective, it makes a tremendous amount of sense. Cost-wise, the governor touched upon this in his December remarks. Cost to consumers for moving away from coal just is exorbitant. Not only consumers, individual consumers, but also business, agribusiness. It makes a lot of sense to move in that direction. Also, in terms of our economy.
You know, when he first ran for election in 2010, Governor Snyder was the first Republican that the League of Conservation Voters ever endorsed for governor. So we've had these 3 years. You sound pretty pleased with what you've heard. I guess I'll have to ask, do you stand by that endorsement?
Well, it's interesting, Cindy. If you look back at the context of that gubernatorial election, mm-hmm. we endorsed pre-primary. And during the primary, if you remember back, it was a highly competitive primary on both sides of the aisle. And what we did was we actually issued a dual endorsement. We endorsed on the Democratic and the Republican side, and both of the endorsees at that point were underdogs. They were not expected to come out of the primary, their respective primaries victorious, and they did. And the governor touted our endorsement. It was on the front page of his website. Mm-hmm. He spoke about the importance of preserving our Great Lakes. You know, overall, we issued our report card last year in 2013, first midterm report card we've issued. He got a C. He's done some really good things, and he's done some mediocre things, and we think there's room for an improvement. But overall, if you look at Republican governors across this country, he's done quite a bit as it relates to the issues that we're most concerned about. I'm looking for improvement, but...
When you say the mediocre things, maybe the so-so things, what things have bothered you that maybe kept it from that C from becoming a B?
Well, there are certainly areas as it pertains to, I mean, frankly, he hasn't moved in a significant fashion to make real changes yet in mm-hmm. the issues related to energy. And so that would be one key facet, which is the pivotal part of our conversation today that we'd
sure.
like to see activity on. You know, the one thing that he did that I will highlight that is really important is that our state legislature thought it would be wise to actually give ultimate authority back to the federal government and pass a law that would say that we couldn't do anything here in Michigan that was stricter than a federal regulation. And as the home of our Great Lakes and 20% of our Earth's fresh surface water, just as only one issue but an important one, mm-hmm. we thought that was a very poor decision on their part, and he vetoed that. It was one of the first vetoes out of the box. So that would I would say that, you know, that's a point in his favor, frankly.
I'm speaking with Lisa Wozniak, who's the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And with that in mind, let's talk some about the governor's energy recommendations. As you say, he made them late last month. And the overall reaction from many is that there were not a lot kind of light in specifics, although he did say he wants a more comprehensive plan by 2015. But talk some more about what you thought was either missing or what you liked about these recommendations.
Well, let me start with what I liked about them, and then we'll talk about mm-hmm. what's missing and what we frankly hope to hear in the State of the State again. I think what we liked was that, frankly, overarchingly, he spoke about the importance of us moving away from coal. And with 58% of our current energy provided right now through coal, and I would say dirty coal, that's a pretty significant statement. All of the reports that came to his desk, the many studies that have been done, indicate that this is a very important thing for us to do for economic reasons. The costs of wind in the last 5 years alone have plummeted to the point where it's now $43 per megawatt hour for wind power versus $108 or $133 for either coal or nuclear. So we heard him speak about the importance of moving away from coal for economic reasons, which mm-hmm. was really very important for us to hear. He also spoke about it from a consumer vantage point in terms of actually lowering the costs to the consumers and providing more opportunity for jobs across the state by investing in clean energy. And then, he referenced our Great Lakes, and he referenced the fact that with coal and with coal power, we also get mercury contamination, which is a very, very heavy contaminant. It goes straight up and it comes straight back down, and it is currently polluting all of our inland lakes and streams and our Great Lakes. Now, what we did not get is the specifics on what are the next steps in actually addressing that. As you know, our current clean energy law sunsets in 2015. We can't let it sunset. And yet the governor has not yet really played out what does it mean to move forward in 2014 to address that.
Those specifics that people want to see.
Yes. What will our goals be? Will we be looking at what the reports indicate is possible, which is, frankly, 30% renewables by 2035? He hasn't said that's his goal yet. He hasn't said specifically what his energy efficiency goals, which we know have huge cost savings connected to them, what those will be. And so that's really what we'd like to hear in the State of the State.
Now, with everything that any governor wants to do, you have the other side of the coin, and that's the legislature. And I want to get your thoughts on this legislature we have controlled, you know, in both the House and the Senate by the GOP. So, Lisa, what is your perspective on how Michigan's environment has been impacted by what the legislature is doing?
Well, that's an excellent question. That we have seen definitely some very detrimental proposals on the part of the legislature and some that actually have been unfortunately enacted. One that's not directly connected to energy, but as an example, will be the rollback of our critical dunes law, which basically protected 30% of Michigan's most critical dunes. And in a state like ours, where we actually have places like the Sleeping Bear Dunes mm-hmm. National Park and other locations along, notably Lake Michigan, I mean, that was a piece of legislation that we thought was incredibly detrimental to our economy, to tourism, and frankly to our environment. As it pertains to energy, they have seen the governor lead on this. They've seen him invest in seven mm-hmm. public forums around the state. They've seen him invest in actually asking for reports that came out through the fall. The reports are there. The numbers are there. All of the evidence is there that it is a smart move for Michigan, who is falling behind. Our state is falling behind over almost 30 other states around the nation in terms of our renewable energy laws. The governor's done his work. He needs to lead on this now from a State of the State podium, but it's now a time to hand the baton to the legislature.
So throw down the gauntlet to the legislature.
Tell them this is what he'd like to have happen, and then it's their turn to lead on this. And frankly, this is a bipartisan issue. We've seen, interestingly enough, a wide array of traditional and non-traditional allies rally around this issue. We have, in the work that we do right now, business partners, the faith community, notably the Christian Coalition, the public health community, doctors, nurses, you name it. And these are not Democrats. They're not only independents. They're not only Republicans. They they cross every political spectrum.
Now, I want, speaking of the voters, let's ask you this. The ballot initiative in 2012 that voters said no to, they didn't pass it, would have increased how much energy Michigan got from renewable resources like wind and solar. Would the league endorse another try, another ballot initiative to do the same thing?
You know, Cindy, we were really proud of the work that we did in that proposal. Proposal 3 was a huge lift. You can imagine running a ballot initiative of any kind in the state is huge. And we were very proud of it because we believed very strongly, and we still do, that Michigan needs to move forward with its clean energy laws. So we don't want to see the current law sunset without anything, any provisions there to take next steps. We also saw post-election that it was not a referendum on clean energy. It was basically the voters saying no to changing the Constitution. And post-election polling showed that 73% of Michiganders, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, strongly believe that we need to move forward with clean energy. So,
but just not in the vehicle of
changing
state Constitution.
Yeah. Right. And so we've seen the governor lead on this in 2013. He's done all of the work that we've talked about today with the public forums and the reports. And at this point, now's not the time for another ballot initiative. Now I want to see whether the governor is going to stand up at the State of the State address and actually really lead on this and give us some details about what it means to move forward and then hand that baton to the legislature.
As we look ahead, and in your mind, Lisa Wozniak, what do you see as the biggest issues that face Michigan's environment, let's say, in the next 5 years?
Certainly this is one of them. Mm-hmm. Energy, as we've been talking about today, has huge implications for our environment from the contamination perspective, from a clean water and a clean air perspective. And we haven't touched on, but I will say the words, a changing climate. Mm-hmm. And it is, without a federal policy in place, it is incumbent upon the states to take action. So that, for us, is actually a pivotal part of this puzzle. Undoubtedly, invasive species.
We had the
new Army Corps of Engineers study that was just released. That is going to continue to be a huge threat to our magnificent Great Lakes.
And a huge, huge price tag proposed.
Gigantic.
Gigantic. Mm-hmm. That one might question, could that ever be achieved?
And a timeline that has been proposed that is not necessarily tenable. So that's going to continue to be a threat to our tourism. Mm. I would also say that some of the other issues that we are very concerned about really relate to public lands. And while our legislature has done some good things overall in the last couple of years, they have also not been necessarily friendly to some of our public lands issues. So between energy and the protection of our magnificent waters and looking at the importance of public lands for the state of Michigan, those will be the three things we'll be focusing on.
Lisa Wozniak, Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Cindy.